Welcome to The Matrix Minute, a podcast where we discuss the first film 1 minute at a time because I like cookies.
Exactly. That's the sole reason why we do it. Yeah.
My name's Phil.
Welcome to The Cookie Minute.
And that's Jake.
No.
Welcome. And that's Tim again. No. How's everybody feeling today?
Beer. I would like some beer.
I got cookies.
What was it? Happy but tired?
Yeah.
Tired,
is the key word of the day.
But happy. Tim, that's so insider. Why did we mention that? No one will know.
What are you talking about?
No one will know. It's good.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
So insider that even Phil doesn't know.
It's true. Anyway.
But maybe someone will relate. What do you know?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe. So, what minute are we on?
Minute? 72, boys.
Wow.
It's the 70s. It will always be the 70s.
Unbelievable.
That's
unbelievable.
Right, the 70s.
That 72, just, man, the year of 1972.
Mm-hmm. And we're here right in the middle of the film, more or less, where Neo talks to the Oracle. And we're going to be getting there. And hopefully we'll have things to say, because what the Oracle says is mostly self-explanatory.
Just kidding.
So, I mean, we'll find out. I mean, you know, that's just how it works. That's just life.
That is life. Tried and true.
Wow.
Tried and true.
Have you guys heard any Matrix news these days?
Tim has.
No.
Yes, Tim.
Not news.
You saw Matrix many places popping up.
I see Matrix, but it's about Matrix number one, and it's like trivia about it, you know? I see Matrix popping out.
Hey, everyone listening, if you want to help promote the Matrix Minute, just link it up to those sites you're visiting about the Matrix. Oh, yeah.
For more info and such great things like the 1996 script.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's a gem, definitely. Definitely. So, welcome. Welcome to Minute 72. You want to know what happens in Minute 72? Let's get it on in. Let's get on in, little doggies. Neo bends himself and thus bends the spoon in front of the spoon.
Neo bends himself.
Neo bends over. Takes the spoon.
Interesting.
Let's do it again. Neo bends himself and thus bends the spoon in front of the spoon boy. But I thought, because I was just taking the, you know, I didn't want to say he bends the spoon, because that's the whole point, is that it's not the spoon that bends, it's himself.
It's the little boy that bends.
But I guess this is reinterpreted.
Let's just skip over that first part.
Okay, so the spoon is bent, but it's not really bent, because Neo is the one bending himself. With his mind, but is interrupted by the...
He's bending his mind, not bending himself.
It's not the spoon that bends, it's only yourself.
Yeah, but it's like...
Forget it. That scene happens, and then the priestess says the Oracle will see you. He gets to the Oracle's kitchen in the apartment, and she immediately tells him she knows he's Neo.
He
says,
"Please do not bend yourself. Delicious cookies. Not bending yourself in my apartment."
And then she goes, "Smell good, don't they?" And she tells Neo to sit down, but knows he won't. Also, don't worry about the vase. What vase? And that's our minute.
Ah, so much bending. All
right, so the Oracle's showing off.
Well, the Oracle's here. We finally met the Oracle, and this is the minute where there's some bending.
There's some bending that will.
Guys, I'm sorry. This was not my intention.
It's okay.
In front of little boy.
It was just now. Yeah. It was.
Neo manages to bend the CGI spoon.
Well, he doesn't, because that's the whole point of the mantra, is that it's not the spoon that bends; it's only yourself.
Yeah, your mind.
Yeah. So the spoon gets bent.
Nothing else but your mind.
But there is no spoon in this scenario, because the spoon is not real. This
exactly.
Not real life.
Exactly.
It's only in his mind.
I don't know. I never figured out this mumbo jumbo.
We talked about it last time.
We did. It was confusing and hard.
Well, the problem is that the Matrix is a system that's connected to, other people's realities as well. So if he bends the spoon only for himself, then no one can see it. But if that applies to the rest of the tricksy stuff he does later on the movies, like dodging bullets and all these crazy things that are not real, then it doesn't work that way, because he has to bend the reality for everyone, otherwise the bullets will hit him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
Or he has to bend space to evade the agent's hits.
That's right.
His hit parades.
Super confusing.
His hit parades. Well, yeah, anyway, there's this great shot of the spoon boy with the spoon and the reflection. It's nice. I like it a lot. And then he's looking out into the, you know, away from the camera, like, and then the priestess comes in and says, "The oracle will see you now." And there he goes. He just cuts. The spoon is back to being straight.
What do you guys think about the CG spoon?
It worked for the time.
It's magical.
Just they say, call it the magic spoon.
Did you guys realize it's CGI back in the day or yeah. No?
No idea.
What? I knew it was CGI.
But it looks like CGI. Now, like, obviously, you know, it's let's say, PS3 graphics right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you can see it, especially when it starts bending. It's got that weird frame rate going on. Uh-huh. But back in the day, I thought it was like, you know, like special effects. You know what I mean? They got a real spool bender. Mm-hmm. Spool bender. Yuri. Spoon bender.
Got a real Yuri Geller going on there. So anyway, the spoon is straight again. Neil looks at it, looks at the spoon boy, who gives him a little cheeky grin. Kind of, a little bit.
A little bit.
A little look there. And then it just cuts to Neo entering through the corridor into the kitchen. And this is our reveal of the Oracle. And how did you feel when you first saw it? Because, like, she's not revealing her face. She's just like, "I know you're Neo. I'll be right with you."
I don't remember because, I didn't know what an Oracle was. So I was quite, okay, whatever this was, you know. An old lady sing there? It's fine.
Yeah, I was pretty confused, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because you don't know. You're wondering, maybe this is a trick where this is just the pre-reveal. And then behind the door comes, "I am the Oracle."
No.
"They called me Fred."
Yeah, yeah.
Or something, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, let's just talk about, like, the environment she's in at the moment. There's orange and there's green. There's a lot of green. She's wearing green and her apron matches with the...
tiles.
Not the tiles, but the counters.
Oh, yeah.
The countertops. Not the countertops, yeah. But, like, this whatever you call those things in the kitchen. And
that is the countertop.
Yeah, well, just a little trivia here. It's like Kim Barrett, she actually used the green tint physically on many of the washes of the costume. So when there was actual white, she actually kind of made it washed to get that little bit of green tinge. Mm. So it's not completely white. So everything in the movie is also, there's a lot of attention being paid to getting that to look. Oh, I thought you were laughing. Getting that to look...
That's what we do, just laugh at you all day.
Appropriately. There you go.
Yeah. Just to show you that it doesn't, you know, it's not enough just to go and slam, effect on your little digital grading effect on your footage. You got to pre-plan this stuff, you know. You can't just like, there it is. And because it'll look like all those crappy internet movies.
Yeah, I just...
Slap a green tint on it.
You're right.
We're just like... It looks mushy.
I just realized that her stove is very small, and so is the oven, and it's elevated on like a little cabinet thing under like that's.
Well, she has two. Well, the stove is normal.
Yeah, what
size.
Is the other thing? Is this a stove?
But it's not normal size because they're both standing on a cupboard.
Weird.
A drawer.
Are they? Oh yeah. So but she has an oven. And then her stove is separated. That's a good, I guess maybe
it's
some
old
70s.
Stuff, man.
Kind of, probably some old stuff.
60s yeah. tech. Which, there's a lot of that in The Matrix. There's a lot of old sort of like 60s and 50s style devices.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting because, you know, like a lot of people have the oven and the stove together, you know, just like one exactly. thing. And then you kind of have to bend over. to get the stuff out of the oven, but a lot of rich people with their fancy kitchens, they have the
where it's higher,
so you don't have to bend
awesome.
Or sit on a chair.
That's nice.
So maybe this is like a makeshift one.
Yeah, she's like, I want
to
be like the rich people.
She doesn't want to bend. Yeah.
She wants to.
The spoon boy comes in. She's like, "It's your mind." She's like, "Piss off, spoon boy." And raise this cabinet for
me. Yes. So she goes, like, "Bingo. Are you the Oracle? Bingo. Not quite what you were expecting, right?" And then she turns to us, the audience. And then she's like, almost done. Smell good, don't they?
Well, one thing I like is that she is sort of not really half paying attention to Neo, but she's not making it a big deal. Like, she's giving Neo her full attention, which is an interesting approach.
I think we learn where Morpheus gets his, you know, stuff from. He likes to make an entrance as well. So.
Yeah.
You learn from her. You know,
except Morpheus never goes, not quite what you were expecting, right?
My beautiful bald head. I was going to say, though, one thing that's nice as well is that you can tell that the Oracle has clearly talked to many other people. So it's not like Neo is, you know, her once a year.
In Future King.
Her once a year patient.
Right.
Who comes in. It's like, oh, I have to get everything perfect. She's just chilling out.
She's done
out
this a million times. Somebody once came in.
Yeah.
She's like, by this time, she's like, I'm not the one.
Or imagine she's like, she's asking him, like, Morpheus? And he's like, yeah. Here we go.
Well, the actress who plays the Oracle is, of course, Gloria Foster, who is primarily a stage actress, and she played in a lot of Broadway productions, like Having Our Say, which is about two sisters who were the daughters of...
I'm going to go watch that movie.
And a show called White America. And guess what? She was born in Chicago, so we have a true perfect blue...
Native
of the Matrix. Her philosophy to getting acting roles is like finding the ones that are more challenging instead of treating each bit as like stepping stones, which is what most people do for their careers. And she was just trying to push herself to embody the characters that she felt were exciting and were a perfect fit.
That's cool.
And then there's one more interesting thing about her. And then in 1995, she played in Having Our Say. And her sister in the movie, in the play, was Mary Alice, who was later the Matrix Revolutions Oracle.
Oh, so they're connected.
There we go.
Mm. So, Phil, does she start acting young? Does she have like a long career? Because she's probably, you know, in a senior age in this movie. She'd been like in movies or just plays before this?
She's been mostly in just plays, and movies were just a little bit later.
Okay.
But not many. You know. Mostly she's a stage actress.
Nice. Well, before we continue on the discussion of the Oracle, I just need to point out, as is the rule, this is another scene from the famous farting in Matrix video. Just so you know.
We're going to link that again, huh?
Yeah, we're linking that. That's you know, childhood memories to me. So.
It is. Didn't we find that like on some crazy...
I just wanted to say that I did not expect this. I expected some kind of big castle or some kind
of... Well, you expected the Zion mainframe.
Exactly, like the 1996 script, which we're going to go back to soon.
Like Blade, blood, like fountains and everything.
Something
and gold
like
and diamonds shining.
And you just
got
to a kitchen and I remember I was alarmed and afraid. I was scared because I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought that it was going to be something scary because she didn't show her face at the beginning. And I thought... Turns around, it's like
again,
a robot face.
Octopus.
Who knows?
Many eyes.
Yeah. Just like the Morpheus eyes that have little tentacles in them.
Crazy.
I guess the entire time you were thinking that it's a scary movie, right? Like a horror.
Something like that. Just something that will put you off. And then I will be sleeping after watching the movie and just thinking, oh, those horrible tentacle eyes.
Ooh.
Tentacle
anyway,
eyes.
Anyway, go on.
The best. No, let's talk about the Oracle. So,
let's.
By the way, before Oracle we get that, did you ever do some research on the correlation? Not correlation. Correlation to ancient history. Because I was reading this book called "Philosophy of the Matrix," and they're talking about how the Oracle is based on the actual Oracle at Delphi, the Oracle of Delphi.
Oh yeah, yeah. And the one that's in 300 as well,
course.
Right?
Yes, exactly. And now I'm a little confused.
All of the car,
I think it was a real oracle.
Yeah.
And what they would do is they would essentially go, and typically it'd be like, you know, royalty and nobility would go and talk to the oracle. And she would essentially be speaking for the gods or something like that. If I'm not confused.
Yes. Yeah.
And she basically would have prophets as well and things up there.
Yeah.
And the idea was that
she would not
necessarily give, it was supposed to be like prophetic answers, but the thing was that she would never really answer the questions very concretely, so it would always be open to interpretation.
Well, that's how basic, you know, prophets and the fortune teller's work because they don't know anything. So you got to give a, you know, you listen to the information and then you kind of work out a sort of vague interpretation that could the other person who hears it, you know, because the truth is most people, you know, have their mind made up. No one's really in such a situation they don't know what to do. Maybe they have two options and they know which one they want, but maybe it's bad morally or maybe they're afraid of the consequences and everything and they just need the right push.
Right.
So having hearing something like that, from which is vague, but it kind of, you know, it gets you to make the choice, you know, easily, yeah. You know, kind of, it pushes the odds away.
So I think that was what the Oracle used to do. And,
yes.
Yeah, it was interesting because they were mentioning in the book how that parallels with the Oracle and the Matrix, but I forgot how. So that's very useful information for me.
This Oracle in the Matrix is actually telling Neo things that he will be using later on.
Man, I should have reread some of that stuff. I could have. Next time.
Also, okay, we'll do a little bit of reading, and because Delphi is an actual place.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Also, a programming language is named after that.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Connects with the Matrix, so she's a programming language. Well, she's
perfect.
Not named as
Delphi. Excellent. Water.
I think. Let me check this.
Let me check it out.
So I wanted to talk about her as... So far in the movie, what we know is that she tells Future... Yeah, Delphi is a programming language. And... As we can see in this example, in this minute,
yes,
she tells Neo, don't worry about the vase. And Neo turns around and smackety-bam, the vase falls.
Yes. The next minute, but okay.
So she's not...
Yeah, it's true, it doesn't fall yet.
It doesn't matter, go on.
It's falling, but it doesn't break. Got you there. So, we can clearly see it's falling. So the question is, it looks like she's not just the old regular Delphi Oracle. She actually knows what's going to happen.
Oh, yes,
because
you're right.
This is some truth. Like, sure, she goes on telling, like, yeah, you know. Like,
that's what she does.
I tell you anything, I'm the old Oracle. But clearly, she anticipated that, you know. Unless you, like, one of the spoon boys took a string and, like, tied it to Neo to the vase and just, like, all charade. Could be true, you know? Well, I don't know why would you go through such lengths. But we are inside a computer program. Now, how is that possible? Is she such a complicated AI that, and is fully aware of all the, not ingredients, all the... Variables that are happening, that she's calculating all the time what are all the possible outcomes of every situation around her?
No, it's mystical, supernatural, special.
Really?
That's you can't be...
Not in the Matrix, my friend.
No, not in the Matrix, like my boy.
It transcends the Matrix. That's how cool it is.
But, no, but there's no proof of such a thing at all in any of the Matrix movies.
Of the vase.
What, magic? Well, she's a dark wizard?
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Uh-huh. It's like sorcery. It's like I always imagine. This is my own. You know that phrase people love to use these days with the hip cats and stuff. They use headcanon. My headcanon in the Matrix is there's a version where you can look at the movie and say that there's something going on beyond even the Matrix world and the physical world, and that's why the Oracle is part of some kind of plan or something going on that we can't really wrap our heads around. That's why she has access to some things like the future. And she has a role to play in all this.
But where do we see the proof of this in the Matrix? Aren't you just
projecting
this
all this?
That's what I wonder. there's a lot of projecting
the
going on here.
The face is one. Her guiding Neo. Her showing like how Neo's going to have to choose between two lives. Things ending up turning out what she said would happen. Things like that. So it's super vague and not, I can't prove it, but it's just projection.
Okay, so these are two opposite of the spectrums here, me and Jake. So Phil, what's your opinion on this?
I'm with Tim. More or
You're
less.
Saying that she has to have...
Super smart AI.
Super smart AI.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, like, let's say, you know, these normal, in real life, these... what's it called, these fortune tellers, they have a limited amount of knowledge and they can produce vague enough information. They just know maybe names, you know, and when those, when people write, like, you know, in, like in churches and stuff, they write those little cards about themselves, and then the little cheaters in the back.
His name is Tim.
So based on this, they can produce, they're smart enough like, to produce some kind of situation, the probabilities
being true.
And then that person's
because
like,
the person's that's close. Yeah.
Yes. And that's super limited. They know nothing. But the Oracle is tied with the Matrix. She knows everything that's going on. Every simulation, she is fully aware.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So the air around Neo as it moves, as
she knows,
you know,
all the variables,
mass moves it around. She knows about
it. And she knows that if he moves, and plus computer, right? Computers can calculate in, you know, one billionth of a second or whatever.
In seconds.
No, like even less than seconds. Milliseconds.
Oh, like, but like...
Milliseconds, essentially. You're doing calculations.
Nanoseconds.
Nanoseconds, perfect.
We're going crazy.
We're going nuts.
We're going
crazy. She knows that when Neo turns his shoulder just in that way and just touching those flowers in that fashion, that that'll cause the, you know, the calculation turns to 100%, that it'll fall, and she can already go, don't worry about the vase, because she's already calculated it. There's 98% probability that it falls.
If she goes... If there's, you know, like a, you know, she always takes the risk, and
so you
know,
it's
she
logic
knows.
Based, computer based logic. That's interesting.
It's well, she's AI, so she has some kind of personality, so she has some kind of emotion, some kind of human kind of.
But I'm saying
way
that she has
thinking,
the advantage.
But she's also a computer,
to,
super
like,
AI. Yeah, she has the advantage.
You know, a lot of times we think we know things, but then we realize how a lot of our decisions and a lot of our thinking is, you know, not rational. It's irrational. But obviously she has the ability to go, oh, she can see everything rationally and logically and have all the variables and information at her disposal. So she can make some pretty accurate decisions, right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you have intuition, right? And a lot of times what you learn that your intuition is right. So you're talking to someone and something seems fishy. You think maybe they're lying or something like that. And maybe in a couple of weeks you find out, oh, he was actually lying. You know, all the rational thought was, you know, I was believing this person and everything, but in the back of my mind, something was telling me that it's off. Now, imagine if that intuition is what she has, is basically, you know, everything. You know, what is happening right now and what happened before.
Yeah.
So your intuition would be like a million times
weaker,
you know, better.
Oh, you
so that's how
better
I...
For her. Sorry,
and,
I think
she's,
in comparison.
And
yeah.
She was built
her,
and created to specifically do this, to study human psychology and the mind...
Yeah, yeah. So she knows how to work. They know how to think. They know the decisions. You know, they look at, she looks at the character and she knows, like, this guy probably going to eat this cookie.
Yep.
He's a cookie, cookie kind of guy,
no,
you know?
Cookie probability, 92%.
He's a cookie monster.
He's a
favorite
cookie monster.
Chocolate
Neo,
chip.
Neo, you cookie monster. Anyway, let's look
really
at the...
Really quick, this is totally useless information, but do you know what I like? You know those cookies that are like the reverse chocolate chip cookies, where the cookie is chocolate and the chocolate is white?
Ooh, yeah, those are good.
Oh, yeah.
But not only that, you have white chocolate and macadamia nuts.
Yeah.
What are macadamia nuts?
macadamia nuts and macadamia nuts.
Macadamia nuts. I have no clue what macadamia means. But
what
I
is
that?
Let me see.
Check it out, man. It's great. It's similar to like...
macadamia.
Just like a nice sweet nut.
Nut.
Look it up. Macadamia.
I want to see what this looks like. Macadamia nuts. It looks like a walnut.
Yeah, type in macadamia nut cookies, chocolate chip cookies.
Huh. I don't think I've... Oh, I know what this is. Yeah, yeah, they have a McDonald's.
Macadamia is a genus of four species of trees indigenous to Australia and constituting part of the plant family Protaceae.
This is good stuff. This is true.
You tried it, right?
Yes.
In the cookie.
Eat the cookie.
Yeah, they're very good. They're good.
Awesome.
They're great nuts.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's talk about the background here. The phone booths. The phone books are back.
Are they?
There they are.
Before we get to the phone books, what do you call those things that Neo goes through the door?
The beads?
The beads. I love those things.
Like, what is the point of that? I never figured out my entire life.
Yeah.
It's going to be to like signal someone's coming in.
Detection. These ones she has, I don't understand because the ones that people usually have, they're much more concentrated.
Yeah.
Denser. Thank you, Philip. So usually against insects or anything like that won't fly through it.
These are basically, they do nothing.
Or it could be one of those stupid things, like in the 70s, that was a trend, that was a fashion trend, you know, and people, you know, one guy put it on in the village and the other guy's, oh, I want one of that, one of them. And that's
I want what Steve wants.
I want what Steve wants. I want what he wants.
Yeah.
Give me the one.
It's like, you know, it's a nice sound and it's like a hippie thing.
Probably.
I don't know. Who knows?
All right. Anyway,
is anything spelled on their kit, the fridge?
Sadly, no.
People nothing? Talked about that, and they said that, yeah, you can do whatever you want. There's nothing. There's no hidden meaning, which is, I think it's great.
Oh, wait, I see it.
Of all the things that have hidden meanings, these...
I see it's sex, I see.
Ah, yes. See
sex again?
Yes, of course. K-Y-M. K-Y-M.
Okay, what was
I see
the phone
F and B, no, it's T-B.
Facebook. It predicted Facebook.
Phone booth.
Gear.
Phone books. Come on, guys. That was from Neo's office.
Yeah,
but
dude,
now
did
it's
you
here.
See that, Tim?
She stole it.
Phone book is exactly the same.
Yep.
And two of them, too.
Also, there's some music that's playing on the radio, and you can see the radio behind the phone books. And this song is called Minor Swing by Django Reinhardt.
Ooh. When was it released?
Django, another programming language. What's that? It's a framework for Python.
Oh, wow. Look at this. All over the place.
Yeah. Coding. Just code everywhere. Code.
So what year was that, buddy?
What, the song that came out?
Beep, beep, beep.
Finding beep, song for you. Beep, finding song beep, for you.
1962.
Ah.
62.
So the Oracle. Hold up,
1962 is when the song came out.
Hmm.
Actually, no. The original time the song came out was 1937. And that's when it came out. And it was composed by Django Reinhardt. There you go. Gypsy jazz tune. You can hear it now.
I like her kitchen.
You can hear it
now. It's nice. It's cozy.
It's, you know, it is definitely a kitchen that I would like to have if I were living in 1965 through 1970.
A little vintage.
Yeah, like it'd be cool. But
I'm not an orange kind of guy, but the green seems nice.
I'd rather take the orange over the green any day.
What?
Yes, orange is great.
Orange is really? The Satan's
it's
color.
It's more of a salmon
orange
color
and yellow.
Dude, yellow is great,
orange
too.
And orange and yellow are yeah, evil.
It's a salmon. It's a salmon
in
color.
Crime.
Come on.
Yeah,
they
looks like a rotten salmon color.
They conspire against the other colors with their hideousness.
They're awesome. They're good colors.
So anyway, guys, if there's nothing else to talk about, we can go into the 1996 script really quickly.
Okay. Oh, we got... Okay. Oh,
yeah,
quick jab. Okay, 3 seconds of the theme song, because it's quick. 3 seconds.
Go.
Go with the theme song. 3 seconds.
Wow, that was brief.
Fully.
Yeah, well, welcome back to 1996 Zone. Last time we left Neo. Neo enters nervously beneath his feet as a path of the Zodiac leading to marbled stairs that rise to a dais and three-legged throne.
Okay, wait, we're in the Zion mainframe now.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, Zion mainframe. Okay. With fountains.
And it's
obelisks.
A shrine, and it looks big and Grecian and Greek and... like I said, Zodiac, marbled stairs, a big die,
Delphi, yeah.
And a three-legged throne in the on the top of that dais.
Wow.
And then, but the throne is empty. Hello, 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 says Neo. And the distant female voice calls to him as he follows it up the stairs. At the top of the dais, he smells something cooking. Following the scent, he moves behind the pillars where he finds an open door. And now the voice off screen goes,
just come on in.
And he walks through a vestibule where he sees a fabulous moonstone headdress and velvet robes. A second door leads into interior oracle chambers. Day. It looks like a suburban tract house. There is a lot of cozy furniture, a dining room hutch filled with china, shelves and tables crowded with doilies, knickknacks, and ceramic bric-a-brac.
Wow, so they kept it.
Neo follows the plastic carpet runner to the kitchen. And there we go. And that's going to... And the scene plays out exactly like it did in the movie, pretty much.
So
more
it's basically
or less.
Just a grand entrance only to reveal a modest kitchen.
So what do you think of that? Do you think that this was just taken out because of budget?
Or they realize that, you know, the idea is, okay, so it's an oracle, so you think something grand, you know, it's the Wizard of Oz mm-hmm. thing, you know?
Oh, something amazing is going to happen. Pay no attention to
that. And then you go behind the door and it's like, oh, it's just a regular person. But they've realized maybe, you know what, we can just do that by hyping up that she's an oracle. And then you go there and like, oh, it's, you don't have to have that grand entrance for the effect to work because you're still the oracle for half of the movie and everyone's like speaking of some grandeur. So it worked, you know, like a new guy. So I think they realized, you know what, you don't need to have the grand entrance.
Us, we were enough as a test group. That's it. Once they convinced us.
Yep.
Then...
We all checked mark. We were amazed by the oracle. Did not expect it.
Two people were amazed by the oracle. I think we're going with this one. That's cool. Yeah, it's true. I think they realized that there's kind of no point. It's kind of like how they realized a lot of stuff earlier in the script. Remember those grand sequences that just filled up space at the beginning?
Yeah.
Like, that would be cool.
About
action
75
sequences.
Characters.
Exactly, but it doesn't really help.
Doesn't really help.
I love my
favorite. But that's what you do. That's the process.
Morpheus is rotating crew. It's seemingly rotating crew, which is like 50 people. And
just every new scene, a new person.
It's like...
Who's this? This is
like
Coco.
The Nebuchadnezzar, like every
Coco.
Every corner of Nebuchadnezzar has one guy, you know, manning just like a specific thing. Like this crew member, his only job is to pull the lever for the goop. This guy's
down the goop
in the basement. He does the, you know, he checks the wires for the computer. He's always down there. What's his name? Mole.
All right. So I think 72.
I think good for 72.
Is no longer.
That's it. 72 is behind us.
In front of us.
Yes.
Let's look into the future.
What do you like think of the Oracle?
Indeed.
What did you expect when you watched the movie? Did you expect the Oracle to be what she looked like in the end? What do you think of the theme of the Oracle? What do you think of the logistics and the logic?
I think her theme would be dun 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 dun.
It's taken.
Indiana Oracle.
I think this should be your theme.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks everyone for listening to episode 72.
Please go to the Matrix Minute.1 and hopefully we'll get guests.
If you want to be a guest,
what is it? That's okay, Philip. It's all okay. Everything is all right.
We're wild.
Yeah, and the survey, I think we, you know. It's up to you, really, guys. Like, I mean, we were not really actively pursuing geist. What am I?
Geist.
New Zealand. It's the beast. But the in a survey, you can click
indeed
like,
you
oh,
can.
You I like it with guests more,
and then
we'll be like,
the survey,
guests,
definitely.
Come.
Our
guests,
survey is linked on our about page. Easiest place to find it.
Yep, and we'll put it in the description of this fine
program.
Episode.
Our fine program.
So take that, chill out,
a grain of salt,
and we'll catch you guys. On Wednesday.
Yes.
For episode 73.
Oh,
more Oracle business to come.
No, 72. 73. Oh, what?
Yes.
Oh. Also, apologize. At the beginning, we were quite chill. We were not awake yet. But now we're awake. And minute 73 will be starting awake.
We will be more...
No awake. More of this sad but happy. I mean,
none
of
this tomfoolery.
Happy business.
Alrighty.
None of
it. Great Monday and Tuesday.
See you later.
Help me, help me, help me, help me.